As I was preparing for the word this morning, some people probably know my style, and it was quite funny because, interestingly enough, there are times that, you know, you get a download from the Lord and you're like, man, that's good. Man, that is like just awesome. Good word, Lord. Thank you. And he's like, yeah, but that's for you right now, not for them, so you don't get to preach that one. And I'm like, man, really? And then so I get another one, and he's like, man, this is good. No, that's not for them either. And I'm like, I don't have all this time in the world, you know. Like, I don't have, come on, you know. And he said, yeah, we're not doing that. And so I have notes and notes and notes of stuff that I didn't get to print out today, and I didn't get to load in that computer for Christina today. He gave me a few scriptures and places we're going to be in the Word today. But this one's going to be a little bit more, let me say it this way, and I hope that you hear my heart on this. If you came here looking for 3 points, you feel good when you're done, high five and all around, this is probably not the Sunday for you, and I want to apologize for that, just in the sense of that, but because I love you. But the word that he has for us today is the word that he wants to share. I have no doubt about that because of the rigor that he put me through on this one. He's got something special. And so I'm going to ask us to do our declaration together. If you would stand and repeat this after me, you can hold your Bibles, you can do the hand motions, whatever you want to do. But let's say this together. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? You may be seated. And Jesus, I thank you. I thank you the way that this message has come out. I pray for the hearts that need this right now, Jesus, that you would do all of the healing, all the transformation. Lord, this is a heavy word. It's a serious tone, Lord. Help me just to deliver it in a good way, an honorable way, and bring the levity that we need to just to continue experiencing joy in your presence while receiving words like this. Lord, do everything that you have in your mind to do, your will, your way. And Lord, we just want to say yes to you. Have your way in this place. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And just FYI, I have the worship team up. This is not a very long thing, so I just wanted them to be able to play. So don't worry about them. I'll turn around and talk to them too, but it's okay. We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1 this morning. Give you a minute to get there. I've got mine here ready to go this morning. I'm reading in the New International today. Hope that's okay. I do have it on the screen. All right, verse 1 starts off with, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Can we take a minute? I'm so glad that he welcomes sinners and eats with them, because guess what? I'm in good company. Thank you for welcoming me, Lord.
Yes.
I was going to not include that because it kind of sidetracks what I'm going to talk about today. But then I was like, no, you know, actually it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Because the whole point of what we're about to talk about today is the fact that the lost get found.
Amen.
Do you want to remain lost? I see no hands.
No.
Do you want to be found?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Start seeing some hands going up. Find me, Lord. Thank you for finding me, Lord. All right? So the point there was, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Thank you, Jesus. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, Goodness, I wish Isaiah or Ava was in here. I would want to illustrate this, but I just throw you on your back, you know, just carry you around. Like, can you imagine, you know, when I have Ava or the little ones on my shoulders, like, I don't think I can help but smile. They're up there sort of like, yeah, I'm having a good time. You're right, the joy, the excitement. I'm on the Master's shoulders.
Mm.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, what does that do in you? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I'm found.
Hallelujah.
He sees me.
Mm.
And so saying, oh, you know what? I got a Chris Johnson Sr. and I got a Chris Johnson Jr. I'll go with the one that's got a little bit more to go. It's fine. He's okay. He'll figure it out, right? No, he said, I saw him too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That version 2.0 might not have been all there is, right? I want version 1.0 too. I made him, so I want him back. And so whatever your story was, I use that because we're junior and senior, right? And it could be kind of a little bit funny, but whatever your story is, you may have been told all your life, nobody wants you. We don't need you. The family's already got those skills and talents and abilities. Why do we need yours? Whatever those lies that you've been told, I'm here to tell you exactly that. They were lies. Even if they meant it good, even if they weren't trying to hurt your feeling, it was a lie. And I ask for forgiveness for the lie that they told you, that you would allow that lie to die in Jesus' name. And you would hear this truth. I see you. I want you. I care about you. And all the gifts and talents and abilities that I have placed in you are going to be for my purposes. All I ask you to do is give them to me with open hands. Will you accept my offer? Can I come in and sit down with you and eat with you? Can I spend time with you, hearing your stories, hearing about your day and what's been going on? Is that okay?
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the way that the Master speaks to us, whom are no longer servants, but what does he call us?
Friends.
He calls you and I friends. You are my friends. Verse 5, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, because I've found my lost sheep. So I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I'm going to change this up because I believe I have the Lord's grace on there. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who sees that they need to repent and they're obedient in that repentance than over 99 righteous people who don't think they have anything to repent for.
Now watch out now. There you go.
And I'm not afraid to kneel down here, say, God, forgive me. And then not dwell there, not dwell in the enemy trying to convince me how low down dirty I am, and to say, wiping the tears away.
Yes.
I'm forgiven. I'm full of joy. I'm going to walk a little bit straighter. Hold my chest up and my shoulders back a little higher, right? Because I'm forgiven. I'm different. I'm transformed. I'm new. Are you? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Man, oh, goodness gracious. There's nothing more the enemy wants to do than to continue allowing you to beat yourself up down here. He's okay if you make your way down here and you kneel and you start apologizing for all the things that you were doing. But what he wants you to do is stay there. and not get up and not move on to the next thing. We were talking this week, and I just feel like this is so for now. So many people are looking for the next thing, and they don't realize that they haven't done anything with the first. God, tell me what to do. You didn't do what I told you the last time. Give me a sign. I already gave you one, right? What do I need to do? I've been tugging at your heart. I've been pulling at your shirt. I've been telling you to go this way, but you're resisting. You're stopping. Have you been faithful with the last thing that he asked you to do? And if you haven't, repent, don't wallow, and wait for the next instruction with joy, with passion, with fire, with excitement. Dang, I feel like today is the day of meddling. Go with me one more thing here. I don't like that word today. I didn't like those songs. I would have sang something else. It was a little pitchy or off key. I could have done a better job. That one wasn't all that holy. I know some that are better.
Yeah, right.
You may even wrap it up and try to sound holy, like, I've prayed for days. I think I'd be a better worship leader. However you want to color it, it's still junk. Who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for ourselves?
No.
Is this a concert?
No.
You know, I even kind of want to vomit a little bit. Sorry for the color. I don't even know that I like calling these events or services. Because I'm not here to be served. Are you here to be served? Am I here to attend an event and say, man, John, music was good today. You did it, man. Or, it wasn't so great today. You probably need to do a little bit of work, right? But that's how we're treating it. What'd you think of the event? What'd you think of the message? What'd you think of the prayer time? I would have done that different. I would have said that different. How nitpicky can we be? I mean, we could probably pick apart everything, couldn't we?
That's right.
But is that our job?
No.
Is that your job? It's not my job. So the only part that I align with calling this a service is when I step foot in this building, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, what do you want to do today? Amen. How can I serve you today? And in serving you, you're going to bless all these people. Because it's not about me. It's about you. So I wanted to challenge you in that, and here's why I was going there. I said in a service a couple days ago, and the thing that I just felt God's hand all over it. I was just like, whoa! I was setting up probably in this area, just in front of my dad, just right over there in their building, just different layout. And so off-center, kind of just minding my own business, just trying to enjoy what's going on and ask God to show me and speak to me and all the above. And someone comes in and I can hear him kind of startle in, and I kid you not, they had a phone in their pocket, and it was Christian music, don't get me wrong, but it was either rock or rap or something, because I could hear just so ever so faintly, and it was like, you know, just doing all that stuff, you know, just going the entire time worship is going on, and he had no clue. Like, he must have just like accidentally hit the play button and it was in his pocket and just kind of sitting there going, and I'm like, I'm looking at all my, I'm making sure it's not me. I'm looking at all my devices, making sure, all right, all the sound is off. I'm just going to power it off just to be safe. I'm turning off my iPad. I'm doing all the things because I'm like, I'm thinking it's me. My face was probably so red. I'm so glad I was not in any camera shots whatsoever. But at first I thought it was me. And I was like, Lord, what is going on? I think I know that song, but it's not mine. And it's the guy behind me. And get this, and I am not meaning any disrespect, but this is what I'm talking about. The enemy wants to distract. The enemy wants to get our eyes off of what Jesus is doing, right? And listen, the very next thing, we're singing a song. The song was going like this. I had never heard it in my life. But everybody in the stinking place was yelling out as top of their lungs. None of us knew it. It wasn't an old hymn. It wasn't a new song. No one could be divided on that. None of us knew it. But we were singing, "Let it rain. Let it rain," right? I think he wrote it. The guy that's there is a songwriter. So we're singing "Let It Rain." And I kid you not, the guy behind me was like so out of key, it was unreal. It was like, "Let it rain," you know, all the stuff, all the places. And you know, instead of saying, "Bro, your phone is on, turn that off, your key is off," you know, none of that. All I felt was this massive hug of the Father wrap me up and say, "I like that. I like yours. I like theirs. I like the ladies down the aisle this way. I'm enjoying every part about this." And you know what the best part was? Everybody was still singing at the top of their lungs like they had their own personal little monitor mixed in there going. And they did not care who heard them or what they sounded like. I mean, the guy's phone was still going when preaching started. I mean, I'm telling you, we had some music the entire time. But there was so much joy in this place, it was unreal. People had determined, "I don't care what's happening. I don't care the fact," and people get messed up with this. There's a lady preaching, and I'm sitting here, "Hallelujah. Yeah, ladies preaching, you know. We don't care about that. You got a word, you're preaching, okay?" And so I was, you know, hooping and hollering about that. They didn't know what she was going to say. We're excited. We're ready to see Holy Spirit move. And guess what?
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
So, church, when we come back home and I go to my aisle and I find my chair, and there better not be anybody in it, I'm just playing, and I find my chair and I sit down and I hear something that I'm like, Chris is not on it today, he should go back home, like, oh goodness gracious, I don't know what he's thinking. Ask the Lord, "Can you show me what you see? Can you help me feel what you feel? Because last time I checked, the name outside doesn't say Chris Johnson. And it doesn't say any of our names either."
No.
And it's nothing fancy. It just says abide. "Can you show me what it means to abide in you at every possible second, in every moment, in every location that I'm in, when the devil's trying to distract me, when he's trying to mess me up and get me back into that really, honestly, it's a Pharisee mindset. Yeah. How can I nitpick this and tell you how to do it better?" Really, is what we're getting at. And instead of focusing on that, what do you want to do today? Right? Are you with me?
Yes.
I don't know what. I'm going to skip ahead to verse 11. I think there's verse numbers on this. So verse 11, we're going to continue with the parable of the lost son. "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them," two sons. "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything," someone say everything.
Everything.
"There was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." Now, I know there's some people that know exactly what these are. I don't know exactly what these are. I don't think I have to. Just the description that I'm getting here, I'm like, I don't want to eat that. Who wants to try a pod? Nope, no hands. No hands are raised. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. And when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. He didn't wait for son to get there. He went to him. He threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. One version I remember reading said he kissed him all over. Who here has been loved up by someone, Nana, someone, and you're getting kissed all over, right? It's a little bit awkward, but it's also a little bit welcome. You're like, you know, this is weird, but I'll allow it, right? Are you with me? What I need you to see here, and we're wrapping up, so. This is a picture of the Father. And this is just as equally a picture of the way that some of us are and the lies that we believe. We're really breaking down lies today. So if you're wondering, that's what we're getting at. You have some people who think where I am and what I've been doing and what I have or don't have from the Lord, I just feel like there's something better. But whatever, it's not here. So I want to take what I have and I want to go because I think I can do something better. Then you have, and we're going to read about it in just a second, but I'm going to kind of color it for you. Then you have those who have everything, and they were both equally blessed, mind you, understand that. They both had an inheritance. They both had something from Father. One of them felt that he didn't have enough, so he had to go. One of them felt that he might have enough, so he thought he would stay, maybe get a little bit more. I don't know what his thoughts were, but he stayed. But both of them were ignorant of the fact of what they really had. Neither one of them understood it. You want to know why? Let's look at it. The son said to him, Father, so he's confessing his heart, the lie that he believed. Listen to this, because no part of this statement is true, by the way. And no part of it is what God wants you to say. I'm no longer to be called your son. Make me a servant. No, he didn't make you a servant. He made you a son. Are you with me? So he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, I dare say he didn't even get a chance to finish what he was saying. And daddy said, hey, yo, you, hey, over there, go get the best robe in my house and put it on my son. Go get the ring that was on my finger and I want you to put it on his, right? Authority. And then take sandals and put them on his feet, right? Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. And what did we just get done reading about the last one, the lost sheep? He likes him some feasts. We are going to have a good time with Jesus. Come on, somebody.
There you go.
So they begin. Oh, no, sorry. Verse 24. He says, for this son of mine was what?
Lost.
Lost. Dead. And now is alive again. He's found. Say, I'm found.
I'm found.
Amen. I'm found. I'm found. Do you believe it? Say it until you need to say it until you believe it. I'm found. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dance. He heard somebody in his pocket bumping some music, and he's like, what's going on? Who left their phone on? Is it me? No, nope, not me. I'm not partying. What's going on here? And he called out to one of his servants and said, hey, what's going on? And he said, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. It should have been good news. Should have been like, whoa, I'm cool with the party. Brother's back. This is awesome. Yeah. But the older brother became angry and refused to go in. If you're being honest, how many of us? Come on. And so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, can't you see? Are you unaware? Do you not know?" Right? Whatever word you want to use there, but he's calling attention. "All these years I've been slaving for you." He didn't understand that he was not a servant, he was a son. Do you see it? "I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." The poor calves and goats in this story. "But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you've killed the fattened calf for him." My son. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get a little bit dumb, like this boy did, and I do this often, more often than I care to admit, and the father's immediate response, not convincing me otherwise, not saying you're wrong, none of that, "Son." And how it causes this to shut. And I say, "Uh-oh. Son." "But did you see what Chris was doing?" "Son." "Did you see what Ashley was doing? Come on, Lord, punish her." "Son." I'm talking now. Mm-hmm. Feel like very Jobish. Remember that? Let the king of all the earth speak now, and you be quiet. You are, and I'm going to even throw in, you were, you have been, right? Some of your situations, his situation definitely. "You are always with me." And I'm even colored a little bit more. "Did you not know that everything I have is yours? But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again." And I would dare tell you that I think other brother is dead and hasn't come alive yet, right?
Right.
He hadn't had that moment because he's still in the doubt and disbelief of being a servant, being a slave. So what bucket do you find yourself in? The one that stayed and tried to do all the things right and tried to cross every T and dot every I and do things perfect and say the right prayers and convince God and beg him, I do everything for you. You owe me this. Bless me. Or are you the one that says, well, you blessed me, but I think I could do better, so just give me what you have and I'm going to go take care of it myself? That sounds a little bit harder, but I'm going to tell you there's probably a few of us that are in this room that were like, no, I can do it myself. I don't need anyone. I got this. I'm fine. Don't need you. Don't need them. And then at the same time, you might be behind closed doors saying, man, I wish I had some friends. I wish I had some help. I wish I had somebody to talk to. So some is isolation that you cause, and you think you could do it all yourself, and you've orphaned yourself. And some of us don't even realize how messed up we are, and we're begging God, and we're trying to manipulate God, because we're doing all the things right, or so we think. We're Pharisees. Lord, I kept your commandments. I taught your word. I prayed for 7 hours. I'm being facetious, please. Prayer is important, but some people wear it as a badge of honor. That's what we're talking about. Listen to this scripture. John 14, 18 through 21. He updates them on all his business because he said, I call you friends because friends know my business. Chris Johnson version. And then he continues in saying, and you have to understand, he knows what we experience each and every day when we say, well, I guess I got to do it alone because no one's with me. I guess I got to do it alone because no one's for me. No one sees me. And the disciples had to feel that when he's telling them, I'm going to be leaving you. They had to feel that. But listen to the words of the master and listen into it in his voice, in your heart, and see what you feel. Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it doubt? Is it anxiety? What does he say? I will not leave you as orphans.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say,
I
will come to you.
Come to you. Thank you.
Wait
Jesus.
A second. Can you imagine being there, present in the room? Hold on. I'm not following. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a little slow. You just said you're going away, but that you're not leaving me. What? Well, listen to what he says. Before long, the world. Are you the world? Am I the world? Are we the world?
No.
The world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Remember that breath in our lungs song? I have his breath. I'm alive. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. I'm abiding in him. And you are in me, abiding in me. And I am in you, abiding in you. Okay? Are you with me? Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. It's the age old, well, I haven't seen him, I haven't heard him, how do I know it's real? As long as you have accepted Jesus in your heart, he says that you're going to see him, and you're going to hear him, and he's going to come to you. You're not alone. I remember the scripture. What does it say? He's the friend that sticketh closer
than a brother.
That's cool. He's got two of them, but Jesus is better. He doesn't pick on you. Amen. I'm going to read these really quickly. I'm going to give you the addresses in case. But 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Romans chapter 8. Sorry, where was it? This one's Romans 8, 14 through 17. For those who are led, say led.
Led.
By the Spirit of God are the
sons.
Children or sons of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you what?
Slaves.
Slaves. So that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry what?
Abba.
Abba, Father.
Daddy.
Daddy. I will never not allow my kids to come and take a knee because I love them so much. I'm daddy. And I am telling you today that that same love, that same promise, that same comfort, whether you've had it in the physical or not, is available to you in the spiritual. God is ready to wrap you up and tell you all the plans that he has for you, all the ways that he wants to bless you. But are you still stuck on the last step? Are you still stuck in the past? What they did? What they said. But Chris, you don't know my story. They were men and women of God. And I'm here to tell you that I'm sorry for them. Maybe they haven't had a chance to see what they did or see what they said, and they haven't repented to you. So will you hear it from me? I'm sorry. No excuses. I am sorry. That should not have happened. It should not have been said. It should not have been done.
Yes.
Don't stay in unforgiveness. Your response now is, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive them. I release them. I am not an orphan, but you've called me a son and daughter. That's what I choose to walk in today. Do you?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've got the team that's going to sing for us. And I just, here's what I encourage you. I don't have anything fancy for you or any steps to follow. I just encourage you, if you need it, will you just kneel at the feet of Jesus? Would you sit at the feet of Jesus here or there? Whatever you need to do, but just take a minute and allow him to do that work in you. Sometimes we get so in a rush that we don't allow what needs to happen. So bask in it for a minute, okay? Lord Jesus, would you just cover? Would you just cover us, Lord? Would you touch our hearts? Would you touch our minds? Would you free us from the lies? Free us from the things that we have given authority to. Lord, I don't want to be an orphan anymore.
Yes.
Let that be our declaration.
Thank you, Father.
I am a son, or I am a daughter of the Most High God. You love me. You see me. You hear me. You guide me. I want to be with you where you are, where you're going, and what you're doing. Do it in these lives today. Lord, as we partner with missions, as we give to ministry, Lord God, would you return to them 200%, 500%, whatever it is in your heart, but I know that you're going to multiply it. Would you do that on them right now? Bless them. Give them the provision they need. Lord, help them to see those initial fruits, the initial good fruits, and help them to say, hey, I want to partner with you on more. I want to be faithful for more. I want to trust and believe for more. Lord, I feel led to pray for our city right now. Lord, tear down the canopy that the enemy and lies and deceit have placed, that unholiness has placed over our city like a shroud that is blocking out all the light. Lord, we've got a sword in our hands. And Lord, I'm going to be like my kids, and I can see them doing it right now. I'm just going to start poking. Mm-hmm. Just start poking and letting the light in, letting your light shine, Lord, not only prophetically right now, but in the spirit, Lord, you're doing it right now. Yes. You're letting your light shine. You're letting truth go forth. You're building a new atmosphere, and you're shifting things. And you're saying life and peace and truth and transformation, that the glory and the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill this earth, and it's going to start right here and right now.
Thank you.
Because you also said that your word will not return to you void, that it will accomplish all that you've set it forth to do. And so, Lord, we say yes. We say amen. Do it right here, right now. Do it in us. We are the temples of the living God. We carry your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us walk out of this place full of Holy Spirit power, and let's start transforming our city right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
do it in me, Lord, so that you can do it there.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Let's just take a minute and worship before the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Can we give him some praise in this place? Just say, just tell him how good he is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. We have groups this week, definitely on Monday and Wednesday. I think we have a Tuesday this week, don't we? Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The information is in the bulletins, and we would love to see you there. So check those out. Give us a call. Let us know if you're coming. And we typically have meals there, and those start at 6 o'clock. The work day is this Saturday. It's going to be with breakfast. So come. We're going to start at 9 o'clock. We're going to eat, and then we're going to get to work. It's going to go to about noon time, and it's going to be in the next door building. So if you are able to come, please come, and we're going to do that together. Amber, was I missing anything, or was that it? Sweet. All right. Love you guys. Be blessed.